And now another episode of Things Dumb Guys Think.
Hey Matt, I just got the notice that my bank has remote deposit.
It is amazing the conveniences that modern technology has brought us.
Well, I'm not sure how convenient that really is. I mean, sure, I don't have to wonder where did I leave the remote anymore. But on the other hand, having to go to the bank every time I want to watch TV.
I think you might need to replace the batteries in your remote, John.
Huh?
Let's just start the show.
We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
This is Pastor Jolly John Lukumsky from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Athens, Illinois, and Trinity Lutheran Church in Darmstadt, Illinois. And Matt, I'm driving down the street there in New Athens, and the sign on the bank says, remote deposit, now available. I mean, what? What would I want to deposit my remotes there for?
That's what those safe deposit boxes are for. They're full of remote controls for safekeeping.
Well, I don't know. If you're like me and you've lost any number of them, it might be a good idea. And by the way, this wonderful gentleman talking to me is
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church in beautiful South St. Louis.
And this is
Wrestling with the Basics.
And today is the day, is it not? Or was it last week?
No, today is the day. Are you talking about the Brew and the Lou?
I am talking about none other than the Brew and the Lou.
Very good. Yeah, this is the day. So there may be some tickets still available if you show up. I know last year they ran out. So,
well, I can believe it because it sounds like... Now, you better tell people, first of all, where it's at, what the time is, and what this is all about.
Yeah, so this is for the Lutheran Elementary School Association. I believe it's from 1 to 5. And
Matt, we covered this last week. It was the only assignment you had was to find out hours for the Brew and the Lou.
I've got the location, though.
Okay, well, we know for sure where it's at.
It's for sure at Francis Park in beautiful South St. Louis, just across from where I serve as pastor, right across from Ascension. So just come on over.
Sometime in the afternoon, show up.
Yeah, sometime in the afternoon, show up. There'll be beer. And also our men's club at Ascension. I don't know if I shared this last week.
Yes, you did.
Did I share this?
The pretzels?
The pretzels. Did I tell you how many pretzels?
No, you did not tell how many. Well, maybe you did. How many?
2,000 pretzel sticks. And these are the full-size Gus's pretzel sticks.
Yeah, not those little ones that you get, you know.
No, these are not like the little rolled gold, you know, bag of pretzels that were doling out.
Things.
No, this is the real deal. So, yeah, stop by. It's all free. So, I mean, you pay your admission.
It isn't.
Well, no, don't tell the listeners that.
Okay.
No, it's you pay your admission, but then once you're in, then it's free-ish, right? You don't pay
free-ish
at each booth. You just have at it. So.
Just to pay to get in. What, you get a little armband or something?
Get a little
like
armband.
That?
Pretzels are free. We're going to serve some water at our booth, too.
You're gonna score some armbands for you and me so we can just kind of wander in there and pretend like we paid?
One second. Are you a pastor? What are you talking about?
Forget that.
I've got my armband, John. I don't know. You're on your own, but I'll be working the pretzel booth. So I'll be working the pretzel booth from 1 to 3. So stop by and say hi.
At least we know that there'll be pretzels starting at 1 o'clock.
Yes, I think it's 1 to 5. I'm pretty certain about that. So I always have to leave early because we have church at 5.
So, like, if I would come over about at 3, you could just hand me your armband and I could go in.
I don't think that. It's for the kids, John. It's a fundraiser.
Well, tell them what it's for. Yeah, because it's a good thing. It's not just to eat pretzels and drink beer. Like, you need more than that, but yeah.
So, yeah, helping the kids. So, this benefits children who want to attend a Lutheran school but maybe need a little extra support in doing that to cover the tuition costs. And it benefits Lutheran schools in Missouri, St. Louis area, but also on the Illinois side, too. So, stop by Lutheran Elementary School Association, LESA for short, LESA. Do great work and a good cause.
Well, thank you. And we do hope you do and enjoy it. It'll be a great time this afternoon. And now, this is an exciting day because are we going to finish the Lord's Prayer today? Is this the finish of the Lord's Prayer?
I think we are. It's the grand finale of the Lord's Prayer. So, yes, it's that time.
So what do we need to talk about then?
Well, we want to talk about the final words, all right? I think it's kind of interesting here. We pray those final words, and our listeners, I'm sure, know them. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Okay, now can I throw some stuff?
Please. Okay, go ahead.
Tough stuff at it?
Sure.
Because first of all, you say that, but our Roman Catholic brethren probably don't know that.
Yeah.
Because they just ended deliver us from evil.
Yeah.
There are also some of our Reformed brethren that wouldn't have forever and ever, but they just have. Is it just forever?
Forever.
Yeah, not forever and ever.
Yeah.
So what's going on there?
Well, I always think that's funny because you when you go to a wedding, for instance, or when I lead a wedding, for instance, part of the ceremony is usually the Lord's Prayer. And you can tell who the Roman Catholics are in the room because they do. They just stop. And all of a sudden it gets really quiet for that last part of the Lord's Prayer. It's supposed to be this grand finale, and it just kind of dwindles off. And you know who the Lutherans are. But it's a great question. So when you look in the Gospels and you see Jesus two times teaching the Lord's Prayer, he doesn't seem to teach that last part.
It's
this part.
Not in the Bible. So what is it? Since we don't monkey around with the Bible, that's one of our catchphrases.
I know.
Why are we even talking about this?
Well, it's not in the Bible, but it's still pretty good stuff, right? Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty
and
good.
And when you look at the history of the early church, it was used super early on, it seems. It seems like within the first couple generations of Jesus ascending into heaven.
Technical
super
time
early.
Term, super early.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Is that kind of like BC or BCE? It is SE.
Super.
It was SE.
Super early.
Super early. Okay.
Well, in fact, so early, you're going to
so
ask
early.
How early. Well, it's
how
so
early,
early that even the Didache, that's this early writing.
Yeah.
Super early
super
writing,
early
some
writing.
Might even say.
SE, yeah.
Didache, the teaching of the 12 apostles. And that records some interesting things. It records some of their practices in the early church, but one of the things it includes is that conclusion to the Lord's Prayer that we pray now. So it's not the Bible. So it's kind of interesting. So not taught by Jesus necessarily, at least not that's recorded, but it was used pretty early on. And again, how appropriate. I mean, what a great way to end the prayer with that praise and honor and glory, everything being given to God the Father.
And in our Lutheran practice, actually, if you come to a Lutheran communion service, you actually see that because the pastor prays the Lord's Prayer, and then the congregation comes back and sings this as a response. So in the liturgy, you actually have that kind of structure that, well, this isn't actually what you find in the Bible, but this is a response of Christians. And there's nothing wrong with Christians responding to what Jesus says to us in the Word of God. I don't think that's
great.
To do that.
I think it's great. So, you know, in the service, we make that clear. And then I think it also makes for nice bookends for the prayer. So we begin the prayer, you know, our Father who art in heaven.
Yep,
and then we end the prayer with the focus
giving
on that Father
glory.
Again. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. And I think this, it brings the focus. It's not mine, right? It's thine. That's kind of catchy, right? Reading rhymes.
Yeah.
So it's not mine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, though sometimes I probably act like it, right? Breaking the first commandment and thinking that way. But it's not mine, Lord. It's thine. Thine is everything. The kingdom, the power, the glory. You're trying to cram everything into just that one line, just conveying that all of it is God's. Amen.
And I'm thinking that is a really good way to end the Lord's Prayer, because the problem is, for me at least, sometimes, Matt, when I've prayed, I've kind of thought, well, now I've done my thing, and now it's up to you, God. Whereas that conclusion reminds me, no, it was always God's thing. In fact, he was the one that told me I could pray this way and made all the promises that you and I have covered before this, forgiveness of sins, daily bread, temptation, deliverance from evil.
He's the source of all those things. He's the one that we address in all those things. Exactly. Thine is the kingdom.
And actually, don't these words, aren't there some Bible passages that kind of reflect the same language about the glory be to God the Father?
Sure. I think, you know, as we look through the epistles, especially when Paul's greetings and salutations at the end of letters really picks up on that wording too, glory and praise and honor be to God. And he many times ends with amen.
So you're right. So thank you. Boy, I'm glad you said that. So to clarify, actually it is in Scripture. It just isn't right there where the Lord teaches the Lord's Prayer. But when the apostles and Paul and all the rest of them are doing their thing, they always go back to the amen and to the declaration of the glory of God. So it is not only part of the Didache, but it's actually part of Scripture, too.
Yeah, that's well said. It's part of Scripture, but maybe not part of connected directly to the Lord's Prayer in Scripture, but certainly not something we're making up, right?
It's not like this show where
not
we make
like
dumb jokes. No, none of that. Not in, this. All right. So anyway, but you still, why? Why do we do that? Why do we say that? What's it all about?
Well, I think it's...
What's it all about?
Oh, boy. Oh, what is that even from?
I don't know. What's it all
something
about?
From your musical
from
career.
From my musical career. One of the many musical numbers that I did.
Well, I think one way, speaking of music,
yeah.
You know, we've been referencing this book on the Lord's Prayer that we've been using, our Journey Home is what it's called.
Is there a segue here, really?
There is a segue, oh,
cool.
Believe it or not.
Yeah.
The author compares this to a musical term, to a crescendo.
Oh,
so
all right.
You're a musician,
great.
You're an organist, yes. You do all yeah. sorts of stuff. So what's a crescendo?
It's where you get louder and louder and louder until you get as loud as you can possibly
yeah,
get.
In
yes. fact, on the organ, for those of you that are not organ players, on a good pipe organ, there is a crescendo pedal. And that's all that pedal does is you push on it, and the more you push on it, the louder and louder things
give
get.
It some gas.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So Saturday night, you can
again,
come.
Not a technical organ term.
Give
we
it
don't
some
usually
gas.
Talk about giving it gas, but yeah, you could say that.
You can tell who the organist in the room is.
That's right.
Now, Saturday nights, do you still play the organ
I still
for worship?
Do.
I mean, so.
And even on that little tiny pipe organ we have at St. Paul, it has a crescendo pedal too.
But that is a sight to behold. So Pastor John leading the liturgy, preaching,
yep.
and.
Playing the organ. One-man show.
The one-man show. Saturday nights. What time?
Six o'clock.
All
so
right.
Go to the loo. Get good and fill it with pretzels and beer, and then come over and worship with us.
Oh, come on, sober up and new atheists.
Yeah, that's right, because you got church that night, too.
We do. It? Yeah, in fact, we even have a banner we put out. You know,
yeah, book, sober up.
Sober up and ascension. Well, what better place?
Back to the subject, man.
Okay, crescendo is the term the book uses. So
wait. Hold on. Where is it?
Yeah.
By the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories... Here's a good idea. Have a point.
Okay.
It makes it so much more interesting.
Yeah. All right. Here's the point. So the book calls it this crescendo. So you're praying and you're addressing our Father in heaven. And then this is kind of the build up and it gets louder. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. And then so the grand finale, that word, amen, right? And it kind of, we just all know to say it. I mean, if you pray this prayer on a weekly basis, daily basis, maybe more than once a day, you know the ending. You know the whole prayer, right? So it's kind of like you go to the ballpark and you're gathered around, and the organist, like we're all sorts of connections this Saturday, plays da 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 da. You know,
charge.
You go, charge, you just do it together. And that's, I think that's kind of a neat picture that when
dum,
we get
dum,
to this.
Dum, 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 dum. I'm sorry.
Saturday nights.
Another
St. Paul's
two Athens. That's right.
So
I'm on the organ.
But it's kind of cool when we're not gathered together, maybe in a stadium, but in worship, we get to the end of the Lord's Prayer and we all know what to say and we belt it out. For thine is the
are
kingdom,
you,
the power.
Are you
the
suggesting the organist should go da 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 at the end of the.
That is the kingdom. Maybe so. Hey, you're onto something there. But anyway, maybe figuratively, the crescendo of the Lord's Prayer. Which I think is pretty neat. And we have that unity there that we're united in this prayer and we're united in this victory that's ours in Jesus Christ. And I think that what's neat about that, it's not just us gathered together in New Athens or in St. Louis, but it's gathered together around the world. And you think about that on a Sunday morning, literally at the very same time, we're praying this with other Christians around the world. Different languages, perhaps, different ways of praying, maybe, some sitting, some standing, who knows, but those same words that we're united with in prayer. Pretty neat picture.
It is. It's exciting to think that we are one church. That's literally true. We are one. And I guess, could we, as we do in the liturgy for communion, could we include the host of heaven in saying that glory?
I don't see why not. And, you know, I think that's especially significant because the scriptures, they talk about how they really are constantly praising God and the Lamb at the center of everything, Jesus Christ. And here these words of praise conclude the Lord's Prayer. So I think perhaps in some ways more than any other point in the Lord's Prayer, this is where we're united with the saints who have gone before us because they're words of praise.
And it is kind of nice to think that, this prayer has been spoken a lot of times before you and I even were born and have been going on for a long time and will go on a long time after you and I have passed as well. So there's something exciting to know about that.
Let me quote from this book.
Okay, please.
Another kind of related to singing, but kind of a chanting here, all right?
Okay.
It says, one of the most remarkable men I ever met could sing while he ran.
Oh, my.
Yeah, see, you can play the organ while you...
I can't walk and talk.
Well, you can play the organ while you're leading worship, but this guy's singing. He's running.
Yeah.
It was a drill instructor for the Army Training Company. Our company trained with him in the late afternoons with the PT grounds where shadeless sauna. After a half hour of push-ups and sit-ups done in more variations than I have ever dreamed possible, we ran. The run would last at least a half hour, and we ran as a unit. And he ran beside us, setting the pace. What was remarkable was his tireless singing. He sang one line, we all sang it back. And this man in his mid-30s, older than most of us, yet he could run and sing out in a voice that carried over 40 men. While we, on the other hand, could only mumble or pant or say nothing at all. He did it day after day. He never stopped. He never said, I'm too tired. I'm too hot. The Army's not worth this. No, he ran and he sang. And when we listened to him and watched the way he ran, we were encouraged to do the same. We ran because this man's energy lifted an entire company of tired soldiers who thought that they were completely spent. This is just one example, he goes on, of what can happen when we're ready to give up. But the right words become infectious and give us more power than they take. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. These words, like an ancient march, tie us with people who have gone long before us. Just like you were saying.
Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands of soldiers have learned the Army songs, but millions and millions have learned the Father's song. The Army songs took us back to our barracks. The Lord's Prayer takes us home where our family is gathered. Our journey is not worthless. His kingdom, his power, his glory cannot be removed. These words come from the tireless one who has gone before us, Jesus Christ, our Savior. So this is really kind of a neat picture.
Those
words that march us, lead us home. Those words that those who have gone before us are already singing in that home, but words that lead us to our heavenly home. And I think another great point, too, is just the certainty of those words. He says that his kingdom, his power, and glory cannot be removed. You know, no matter what happens this side of heaven, here on this earth, no matter what the circumstances are in terms of, you know, world affairs and what's happening in our nation and around the world, still the fact remains, thine Lord, thine Father is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. When Jesus walked the earth and still today and tomorrow and forever, amen, those certain words.
And what was that phrase you said there? It gives more than it takes. What?
Yeah.
What was that phrase again?
Yeah. But the right words come and become infectious. They give more power than they take.
Yeah. See, I really like that phrase too, because I think we maybe forget that. That really is Jesus' prayer.
Yeah.
It's not our prayer. It's Jesus' prayer. Those are his words. And so they literally do give more power than they take. Our prayers can wear us out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a prayer where he comes and says, this is what I'm going to do. That's what I'm asking you to pray for. So other things you might ask for, you can never be sure, you know, because you don't know. Maybe it's not the will of God. That's one of the prayers, thy will be done. But here, everything we pray for, we know that's exactly what we're going to get because he's the one that told us to pray it that way.
That's right.
Yeah. So I like that analogy of singing the song. It's the song that the sergeant's singing. Well, we're singing the song that Jesus is singing, or praying the prayer that Jesus is praying. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting that the focus isn't on us. Again, it's not mine, it's thine.
Yeah.
But yet that's exactly what gives us power and strength and what encourages us, because it isn't ours. It's the Lord's, and it's unchanging, and it's forever and ever. And that's a comfort to us in this prayer that Jesus taught us to pray.
We kind of talked about that this morning in Thy Strong Word, because we had Luke 18, and mm-hmm. it's interesting that you have the exhortation to pray, keep praying and not lose heart with the parable of the widow who's praying to a judge who doesn't really care what God thinks or what man thinks. And then immediately after that, you have the parable about the Pharisee and the publican. And we were reflecting on the fact that it's when you realize you're a publican, when you realize you are, as the man said, the sinner, then you really can pray without ceasing, because you realize, well, it's not dependent upon me. It's not going to be my prayer answered on the basis of how good I am or what I've done or how well I've prayed. But no, I'm praying with the confidence of a man who knows he's a sinner, but knows he has a God who loves sinners, who actually invites them to pray Our Father. What a remarkable thing. So, it's a nice thought.
Yeah, the Lord's Prayer reminds us of who we are as we pray. I like that. We are sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father.
Which, by the way, guess what the next story is about the little babies being brought to Jesus.
Yeah,
babies know that, don't they? Babies know to ask whether they're worthy. If their diaper is wet, they just cry, and they cry and cry and cry without ceasing, not losing heart until you come and change their diaper.
Yeah, so there you go.
That's the attitude we all should have. Just cry out to the Lord. Cry out to your Father, whatever your need may be.
Yeah, and so. I like the point you made, too, about the certainty that we know in the Lord's Prayer, words that Jesus himself taught us, we know that this prayer is God-pleasing. We know that this prayer, God desires to grant this to us, and that confidence. And I think that leads us to then the grand finale word in the prayer, the Amen.
Could I interrupt you just one
second? Go ahead.
So it's not like when I'm down at the casino and I'm shaking them dice and saying, come on, Lord, come on, let's hit that 7-Eleven. See, I don't know. I have no idea whether he's going to answer
that prayer. Is that God's will or not?
Exactly right.
Yeah.
But this one, the Lord's Prayer, I do know.
It's a guarantee.
Give us this day, forgive our trespasses. No, I'm sorry.
This is how we pray.
You're leading into the end of the crescendo. We've got the pedal pushed all the way now.
That's right.
To the Amen.
And an Amen. So why don't we go to Luther's words? We'll go to the Small Catechism. So in the Small Catechism, it comments on this and talks, when it goes to the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer, really focuses on that word, Amen. So if you don't mind reading what the Catechism has to say about that.
What does this mean? This means that I should be certain that these petitions are pleasing to our Father in heaven and are heard by him, for he himself has commanded us to pray in this way and has promised to hear us. Amen, Amen means yes, yes, it shall be so.
Yeah, so we can be certain, 100% certain, this is pleasing to our Father. He has heard us. He's promised to hear us. This is how he commanded. Yes, yes, it shall be so. And I mean, we could just walk through the entire Lord's Prayer and review a little bit, you know, just that all of those things certainly are God-pleasing. They're going to be granted to us. That God is our Father, that his kingdom comes among us, that his will be done, that he will give us our daily bread, that he forgives us our trespasses, our sins, our debts, that he delivers us from evil, because he's promised to give all these things to us. And so we end, I think there's no better way than Amen, which means yes,
it shall be so.
Definitely. Yeah.
And maybe that's how we should pray it, in our mind at least. Not that we need to do this physically, because it would just make it too long. But seriously, after each of those petitions, we should probably say, yes, yes, it shall be so.
Yeah.
And again, how do we know it's going to be so? Because he said it.
Yes.
That's the great thing.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I think that's so beautiful in worship, too. You know, that's not the only time we say Amen when we come to church, right?
No, that's right. We say it at the end of the whole service as well. In fact, we say it in our church often three times, Amen, Amen, Amen.
Yeah, so, yeah. And those words, the words of the benediction, we're not pulling those out of the air either. Those came from God, too, right? Numbers chapter 6, the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine on you. We say Amen. But I think even with confession and absolution, after that pronouncement of the forgiveness of sins, we say Amen. Yes, yes, it shall be so. And it's certain, this forgiveness pronounced by the pastor is just as certain as if God did it himself standing right there. And guess what? God is right there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And Amen, it shall be so. All of those times we say Amen, I think it's just that they're reasserting that yes, yes, Lord, what you're giving to us in worship, we're receiving in faith.
But now, as a little teaser for next week.
Oh.
Next week, by the way, can we do the widow at Nain?
Let's do it.
Because I think it actually maybe reflects the Lord's Prayer and the Amen.
All right.
It shall be so. But the tension in the word Amen is it maybe isn't right now, though, is it? If you say it shall be so, that implies that, well, maybe it's not quite this way at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that actually will fit in really well with our discussion of the widow at Nain.
Look at that. All these connections this week. That's amazing. And I think beer is going to come up next week too, right?
Yeah, well, it should.
It might.
Every week.
The son is on the dead child is on a beer, right?
Man. Please, excuse Matt. He maybe has been practicing for the Brew and the Lou already. I don't know. But God bless you. This has been
Wrestling with the Basics.